And no one truly knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give is light." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today, and we pray that it will come alive in our hearts, helping us to realize just who you are as our Father and how you care so much for us. And just as a father tries to get a baby to rest, you want to do the same thing with us sometimes, because there's so much going on around us. We know that we can come to you, come to your arms, and be enveloped by your love and just rest and hear your heartbeat. And for that, God, we give you praise today as you do that for us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you look at the preceding verses, they are a prayerful conversation between Jesus and his Father. He is thanking him for all that he has done and for what he is going to do in and through his Son. Then Jesus turns this prayerful conversation to and for his disciples in order for them to hear and know his heart. Verse 27 is a declaration for them to realize that he is the way to the Father. In verses 28 through 30, Jesus gives us the way to find the promise of rest in him. First, come to me. Second, take and learn. And third, find rest. So point one, come to me. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." That's verse 28. Now, in case you're wondering to whom he is talking to, he says, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but if I ask, could you honestly say that you are not tired or weary or carrying some type of heavy burden? I couldn't raise my hand. I know that I'm supposed to cast all my cares on him, for he cares for me, which is 1 Peter 5:7. But the problem is the human side of me likes to pick things back up, thinking that I can take care of it because I don't want to trouble God with this, so I'll handle it. And then we find ourselves back with slumpy shoulders and carrying that burden again. God is trying to tell us, I've got this. Let me handle it. But all too often we think we've got it. And that's why Jesus is telling us to come, all who are weary, and find rest by giving him everything. That is how we will know we can truly rest in him. Now, if you recall, I did the 10 a.m. call a week ago, and I told you that Jesus used this invitation of coming 23 times in the Synoptic Gospels. For us to come, we have to change directions, change our plans, and surrender all that we want to do so that Jesus can do what he wants to do in and through us. And he promised us to give us something that we can't find anywhere else. True rest. Last week we sang the song Lavished, which is taken from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. The part that hits me is he makes me lie down. Now, as you know, we are called his sheep. And sheep can sometimes be stubborn. And the shepherd would have to make them stop, lay down, and rest. One of my boys was a lot like that. He shall remain nameless. But he fought going to sleep, even though he was so tired, because he was afraid he was going to miss something. I remember laying him in his crib and standing over him and patting his butt, or backside, I'm sorry, his backside, to calm him down, let him know I was there. But he would arch up, and I have to push him back down. Anybody else like that? He would finally surrender and go to sleep, and he would find that rest that he needed. There's times that Jesus has to do that with me. Because I'm so restless that he's saying, just rest in me. Matt Chandler, one of the presenters on our Right Now Media devotionals, pointed out that in the desert region in the Middle East, there are only two rainy seasons. So there are not a lot of green pastures with still waters for them to find. The shepherds, they would take their sheep to this area during the day, having the sheep take a rest in this peaceful, lush place with the focus of being still and finding true rest. He goes on to say that as Christ is our shepherd, we trust him as he leads us, because in this place we become restored and reanimated and refreshed. So the first thing I thought of was trust is true rest. I'm going to say that again. Trust is true rest in Jesus. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Trust our good shepherd. Secondly, we're told, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. Verse 29a. Now, a little English lesson here. This is an imperative statement sentence. Take my yoke has the understood subject of it being you. It requires action on your behalf, our behalf. And it is an open invitation for us to learn from Jesus. I mean, come on. We have the opportunity to receive the vast wisdom of our Lord and Master. We need to take advantage of this. I mean, if you were a football player, would you not want to take advantage of learning everything you could from Tony Dungy? If you're a piano player, would you not want to go back in time to be able to learn from Chopin? If you're a vocalist, would you not want to be trained under the same teachers that have taught Celine Dion and some of the famous singers today? You would want to take advantage of that. Well, we're talking about Jesus, who knows and has experienced everything and has created all these things. So why wouldn't we go to him to learn? He is a gentle and kind teacher. He will not force it down our throats. He is showing us his grace, his love, and his mercy. And only you can make the decision to receive that from him and to learn from him. Last week, Jerry shared from John 15:1-5, where Jesus says that God is the vine dresser or the husbandman. And Dr. Earl Rodmacher is quoted as saying, so when Jesus calls his father the vine dresser or the husbandman, he is describing him in terms of his relationship and attitude, as well as his actions in the lives of the disciples. We all know that in relationship, there is a give and take, but we tend to only take if we know the person's heart and intent. This is why we need to be in a true, real relationship with God. To know His heart and intent for us is to always be and do for us what is best. As I was studying this, they were talking about the vine dressers, how they would come in and trim off those that weren't producing fruit. But they would also have to see where it would need support and bring in support or tie it to the trellis to help support it and help it to grow. And they would work for 5 months before they saw the fruit of the product on the vine dresser. Now, last week on that tomato plant, there's times that there's a nice healthy branch coming off the stalk, and then this little extra sprout starts coming up. My mom called those the suckers. Because what they do, if you don't pinch those off, they weaken that joint and that connection to the vine. And so that when fruit starts producing on this bigger fruit vine that was out here, it breaks off. So we got to get rid of those little suckers that are taking away the life of us. And that's what God does in that pruning time. The husbandman is defined as a farmer or a worker of soil. And husbandry is an agricultural term related to the production of crops and livestock. And to husband or to manage something well shows prudence and economic sense. I can just picture Jesus teaching and talking to his disciples as they pass by a farmer who's a husbandman out working in the field. And he is working a new team of oxen to try to get them to work together, the bigger one being stubborn and not cooperating too much. And that's when he says, "Take my yoke upon you." As we see that teamwork, we know that if we got someone really strong working with us, man, it makes a lot easier to do the work. But all too often we think, oh, I got this, I can take it. And God says, let me help you. So cast that burden to Him and let Him shoulder the load. Or maybe another time they were walking along and there was a vine dresser working in the vineyard, knowing that it would be months before he saw a harvest, still out there pruning off the fruitless vines and training the vines, putting up its support and trying to tying them to the trellis there. And he was saying to his disciples that they need to be taught on what they really need to focus on. Learn from me. Abide with me every day. And then go in the rest that you have what it takes as you go along your way each and every step of the day, of the way and the end of every day. The husbandman didn't just wake up and say, well, now I know what to do. I mean, ask Ed Bell. He can tell you a lot of stories of what he has learned as a husbandman, a farmer. He didn't just wake up one day and go, well, I'm going to have strawberries. If you've seen the pictures of him out planting those rows of strawberries every year, preparing for the next year, knowing that those he's planting this year won't provide fruit, that's for the next year, planning ahead. But he will also tell you that he has sought out those who are learned and are the best in the business, so that he can learn from their trade and improve what he does in his business. And there are those who have sought him out and asked him questions. What was it, 2 years ago? Farmer of the Year? Right? Something like that for the state fair? You know, that's what I'm talking about. We have access to the very best, Jesus. And he has an open invitation to learn from him. and his ways are not like the world's ways. But you can rest in his success when you fully follow after him, putting Jesus first in all that you do. Thirdly, we find rest. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Verses 29b and 30. Rest is more than sleep. Rest is more than sleep. Why do I know this? I recently had a sleep test done, and it showed me that I was not truly resting. My dad and my mom recommended that I started taking melatonin. It's a natural vitamin that helps your brain to sort of, you know, it's a chemical for your brain that helps you to shut down and allow you to sleep. And I have been finding that that's helping me. But what the sleep test showed me was that I was restless and I wasn't breathing properly. Have you ever, you know, again, holding a baby in your arms? When they're restless, they're fighting it, but when they truly just relax, they become this heavy weight in your arms. But I'm here to tell you that God says, I want you to just breathe and rest in me. As we were looking at so many times during the day that we'll close our eyes and then our brains start kicking in and thinking of all these things we should be doing. And that's when God says, cast all your cares. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And then Psalm 37, verse 34, put your hope in the Lord. You know, if you take out your smartphone, they've got an app to help you get calm now. And I know that Colby and Leah have a white noise machine for the kids to be able to go to sleep to, because that white noise helps your brain to just not keep zzzz. But I'm here to tell you that it's not white noise you need to listen to, but you need to listen to the heart of God. To lay your head on his chest and to hear that heartbeat that is at rest and is there protecting you and providing for you and just saying, I want you to rest in me. So it's not just rest for your brain or rest for your body, but rest for your soul. That part of you that is inside of you so deep to be at true rest in him. It's important to realize that we don't work for the rest, but rather what we do comes out of our rest. When we rest at the feet of Jesus, like Mary did, learning from him, then when we go out, we're able to share his message of grace, hope, mercy, love, and peace. By resting in him, our faith is made stronger. True rest is an intermission or a cessation of motion. Something that fidgety people like me have trouble doing. But in those moments, our hearts, our minds, and our souls come into focus. And it allows us to love God with all that we have, and for Him to fill us with more of His love for others. Therefore, it is out of this rest that we are able to fulfill the calling for our lives, not just as fathers, not just as mothers, but as children of God. It's not a task, but we are on a mission of love. This is something that can only happen through daily surrender and relationship with Jesus. You can't just Google it and search for an answer, because what the world has to say won't bring you the peace that passes all understanding. This is why Jesus said, "Come to me to take and learn, and then to find rest for your soul in our daily life." This is how His promise of rest can be fulfilled. If you look around us, there's prayer shawls that some of the ladies from our church used the COVID time to put together. But while they were busy with their fingers, they were still praying over these as they were making them. They were resting in that love that God had given them, and using just a little bit of their talent to create something that could be used to bless others. What's in your hand? What is God calling you to use for His glory? I challenge you today to make a fresh commitment to the calling of being a disciple of Christ. And that means you keep coming to Jesus. You keep taking time to learn to Him, learn from Him, and you find rest, not only from the cares of this world, but also any that you may have acquired from what the religious world has put on you. Because, folks, I don't want a religion. I want a relationship. And that can only happen by spending time with Jesus. If not, then I just become a religious person, doing things out of duty and responsibility. But I want to do it because I love Him. And I want the world to see how much I love Him. For when you are in a relationship with Him, you will realize it's not about the religion. It's about who you are in Him. His child. A child of God. And we ask the praise team to come on up. And as we close out the service, I'd like for you to pray over the prayer shawls, but don't touch them. Just pray over them as we have these to go out to minister to families that are in the hospital or in the shut-ins. But also, I challenge you that don't look at the altars as just a time if something's wrong in your life. Look at the altars as something, I want to come to Jesus. I want Him to meet me here. And know that He is standing here with His arms wide open for you.